There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk, which, of course, we do all throughout the day. And let me just add this, because I did not say anything about it yesterday, which was really hard for me not to say anything about it. Let me remind you of the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. Like a puppy waiting for adoption. It's out there. If you're an iPhone user at the App Store, if you're an Android user over at Google Play, it's just waiting for you to pick it up. Just search for FMTALK1065. So FMTALK1065 on either of those platforms. You'll see our logo. That's us. Download that free app and put it on your phone. And then not only do you get, I mean, it's like a digital multi-tool, like a digital Leatherman. It's got everything on it, from latest traffic information, weather information, constantly up to date on their show schedules. 55 hours a week of live local programming in podcast form is waiting for you there, so you can catch up on a show you missed. Go back and listen to something again or share it. Also, you can go on there and leave us a talkback, which I love. You'll see that microphone icon on the front page where the streaming's coming through, which I didn't mention, that it streams the station. But you can mash on that microphone button right there. And when you do that, well, next thing you know, you'll be looking at a little page there where you can record a message and send it to us, and we can play it back on there. So y'all check it out. It's FM Talk 106.5, and check it out on for Android or iPhones. All right. So as I get ready to get cranked up today, we are live at the grounds, the Greater Gulf State Fair going on. Executive Director of the grounds, Josh Woods, hanging out with me in the Mobile Command Unit. Thanks for having us out.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us.
So this is we had the big first weekend of the fair. Let's talk about that. You had a pretty big country music show going on here.
We did. We had a live entertainment on the grandstand this weekend, or last weekend, and a really great turnout and had good crowds. Lots of folks came out, ate some food, rode some rides, heard some music. Our Sun South stage, every night we have entertainment on it. I mean, it was a great weekend. Beautiful weather.
Yes.
Looking forward for the great weather for the rest of the run as well.
So what about the kind of the desire? Y'all worked with COVID last year, but it was not the normal fair.
Yeah, it was not normal at all. scaled down midway last year a little bit. We got the rides we could. Had vendors that were willing to come out and participate. Obviously, there was a lot of social distancing going on and all that fun stuff, but this year we were pumped to open because we're back in full force. The largest midway on the Gulf Coast, the Mobile or Mobile County's largest event's back, and we're really excited about the rest of the run. Appreciate everybody that came out. Looking forward to what next weekend looks like.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought about this, that as you and I talked last year, that you admitted you have a secret Facebook page with other people that put on fairs around the country.
Right. Yes.
Y'all communicate. Look at it. What advantages we have here over some of those other places. I don't know every place. You know it. But, I mean, look at this piece of property we're sitting on here. Look at the amount of space we have.
Yeah, we have 164 acres. Out of that, roughly 105 is developed. Can't wait to put a plan in place and execute a plan on the rest of it. But we have the space. We're at the perfect point. We're in the route where we get the largest midway. We get the same midway or the same rides that play the largest fairs. Calgary Stampede, the Big E, Canadian National Exhibition, and it's sitting here in Mobile because we're in the perfect spot.
I didn't know that.
Spot.
It was okay. So I have been. Gosh, it's been a couple lifetimes ago at Calgary Stampede. That thing was monstrous.
Huge. It's huge. I think that's the fourth largest fair, third largest fair any given year in North America, and we get that that same Midway. We're a little spoiled a little bit because we get the same Midway that they have. They see a 1.6 million through,
wow.
You know, we're fortunate enough that we're in that exact spot, exact time of year that we get a pretty awesome Midway from North America Midway.
164 acres, Josh. I mean, you say, matter of fact, executive director, you know this place inside and out, but there's a lot of people that may have come and just come to the Midway or just come to a show and not realize the footprint of the grounds.
Yeah, so we, I guess it was 2016, we purchased an extra 50 or 64 acres, added that to our portfolio. We were sitting right at about 100 before then, so we're at 164. We were able to add a new entrance, which we're still trying to teach people about. coming off of Howell's Ferry, that's really the fastest way, especially with this road construction going on Ziegler. The fastest way to get to the fair is down Howell's Ferry. We got a beautiful sign out there.
So not the Ziegler, like, you know, the old Ziegler. I even did it today where I wanted to come in the front here at Ziegler. But if somebody's what if somebody's coming the other way? Like if they're going to come across, should they just go ahead and take Cody across and then go to Howell's Ferry?
I would. Ziegler right now with the road construction and actually right around the park, municipal park up there, they kind of closed that for the next month, I believe, so it's really hard to kind of get through that. But really, Schillinger to Howell's Ferry, Cody to Howell's Ferry, Howell's Ferry to Howell's Ferry.
Yeah.
So it's that's really the best way to get to the ferry. Gets you in. We'll probably send you back out that way and really kind of simplifies everything on how to get here.
Okay. So let's talk about some pro tips on coming to the fair.
Yeah.
Now, if like in my house, I have a teenager who would want to be here when the most number of people are here. That's what she likes. I've got an 11-year-old who might not.
Yep.
So kind of, which night do I bring him? How do I work this?
Yeah, pro tips. So the best night, if you like crowds, if you like the energy and you like being around a good many people, really that Saturday, our Saturday and Sunday is the time you want to come. That's when we see a lot of strollers, we see a lot of families, okay. Everybody hanging out. Last Saturday saw all my relatives out here, so that's the day that you want to come. But if you're looking for a night where it's a little bit slower, you know, obviously, depending on the time, it does get busy, but a little bit slower night, really Wednesday, Thursday's kind of your night. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So, like, tonight would be good.
Tonight would be good, and we also have a special tonight. It's a kids' day. So, with the purchase of an adult ticket at the ticket office, you get a free child's ticket. So,
talking my language.
Yeah, we really try to encourage families to come out during the weekday. You know, we want them to come on the weekend as well, but come during the weekday, and it's a little bit slower, a little less people, and it's definitely the week, the time to take advantage of.
Can you imagine it's now 13 minutes after the hour, and I waited this long to ask you about rodeo?
Oh,
you proud of me? Okay, I did my best. I know there are other things. There's, you know, the live concerts and the Midway and all the... But there's rodeo.
There's rodeo, yeah. So Friday night, we have a new event that we're partnering with on our rodeo provider. It's called Bullnanza. So all thing bulls. And that's a separate ticket only that night on Friday.
What happens with Bullnanza?
Bull riding, bullfighting, anything bulls.
Okay.
That's kind of what it's programmed to. I believe it's about an hour and a half show.
Bullfighting.
Bullfighting.
So there'll be like somebody in the ring with the red cape and all that?
I really haven't seen it. I don't think it's the traditional matador type, right. But I believe it's more of dancing with bulls, really.
My dance with the bull is called Run Away and Get Over the Gate.
Yeah. That's mine as well. I'm gone. But that's Bullnanza. It's on Friday night. Starts at 7:30. And again, that's a separate ticket. You can get it at greatergovstatefair.com or come to our ticket office, and you'll be able to get that night. But our free rodeo, the normal Greater Gulf State Fair rodeo brought to you by Rock and Roll Offs, is Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7:30 that night, and then 2:30 on Sunday. So two nights of rodeo, or 2 days of rodeo, and a Friday night bull event. So really 3 days of Rock and Roll Off arena action.
And you talk about the arena. This is new.
This is. We're working a couple kinks out right now, getting it all ready. We moved our rodeo arena as part of our grand master plan. That was kind of the thing that kicked it off. It's in a new spot on the east end of the property. Beautiful arena, and we look forward to opening it up and putting some action in there.
All right. So, and you mentioned the website a couple times here. Is that the best? I mean, you'd rather people get tickets in advance, or what about coming up just walking up?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, you can walk up and grab tickets from the ticket office. We have these new self-service kiosks out front that helps simplify things. You walk right up to it. You do it. We have somebody there to help you if you need it. Walk right up to an iPad, prints off your ticket, and you can walk right in. But also have the ticket office where you can get in line and buy those tickets. But really the fastest and easiest and best way to buy a ticket is either from your phone or computer at greatergovstatefair.com. send you an email. Your tickets are actually in the email, so all you have to do is pull your phone out when you get to the gate, show them your tickets, they scan it, and you walk right in.
I like that. Now, you mentioned when I pulled in here today about the rides, you know, and you rode. Which one did you ride last? What was this?
So last night I rode the Mach 3.
The Mach 3. Do tell.
Mach 3 is probably the fastest ride we have, fastest highest ride we have, and last night was just a good night to do it. And went ahead and rode it, and rode the Star Dancer as well. That's the one of the newest rides, I guess, came last year for the first time. It literally flips you. It's a pendulum ride, flips you all the way over. So you go up, down, all around. And then I think I ended the night on Mega Drop. So that was a that was a fun night. You gotta get your rides in when you can. So
yeah. So none of those are on my schedule. None of those you described. All those would be a no. A hard pass for
well,
me.
Well, we also have like the Bumblebees.
That's what I need.
The scooters.
That's what I need. Something very slow. Maybe some maybe some children's music playing in the background. I get in there, mix it up with the 9-year olds.
Yeah, we span the gamut. So we have a slide. Slides that go all the way up to super slides. We have fast rides, quick rides, slow rides. Basically, it's kind of a buffet of anything.
All right. Speaking of buffet, too, I'm looking at all the food trucks out here.
Yes, there's lots and lots of food trucks. Actually hung out last night with the guy that fries anything. So
Now, you mentioned this the other day. Okay. Yeah.
So looked at it. He has fried cauliflower, buffalo fried cauliflower, which might be the only way I eat cauliflower.
I might eat cauliflower that way. Yeah.
Blossom onions, fresh squeezed lemonade, and then obviously we have the corn dogs. Whether you like skinny corn dogs, big corn dogs, long corn dogs, whatever type of corn dog, Kaneka corn dog, any type of corn dog, we have those. And then obviously we're a funnel cake kind of place here in Mobile, and
yeah.
we have quite the amount of funnel cakes. Plain with sugar or strawberries, chocolate, caramel, whatever you want. We span the gamut. Here.
All that stuff that'll be sticking to my shirt by the end of the night.
Yeah, right after you ride the scooters and
the kids and I.
I would eat it after Mach 3, but maybe before the scooters.
Well said. All right, Josh, we'll check in with you next hour.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sean.
All right, Josh Woods, Executive Director at the Grounds, and it is the fair, the Greater Gulf State Fair, going on right now. Hopefully we'll see you all out here tonight. I will be there on the Bumblebee eating a funnel cake with the 9-year-olds, so I do that. All right, coming right back, talk about the 100-day plan for the city of Mobile. It's out from Mayor Stimson. Also, Chris Curry from the Mobile Airport Authority joins us this hour.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. We are live at the grounds for the Greater Gulf State Fair as it rolls on tonight and on through this coming weekend. We'll talk more with Josh Woods from the grounds here in the beginning of the next hour. Also coming up next hour, Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt, District 3, is going to join us. Lots to do on the county side. I know people have been asking about me getting somebody on from the county, and definitely we haven't done that in a while, so we'll do it today. And let's talk about the city of Mobile for a second here. And the 100-day plan for the city of Mobile is out. So yesterday you had the seating. I called it the initiation. I don't know, John Sharp from AL.com liked that. I said the pledges, the new recruits into the city council were seated. Today's their first council meeting. But yesterday, there's pomp and circumstance and speeches. And even the executive branch, Mayor Stimson, talked yesterday and mentioned that today would be the release of the 100-day plan for the city of Mobile. I got the email earlier this morning. So just a few things here from that, and we'll hit some high points, but hopefully sooner than later, we'll do a little deeper dive into what's in the 100-day plan. But that's and also, if we get a chance in the next few minutes, we'll also talk about what's going on in Montgomery today. So 100-day plan for the city. And a lot, you know, I looked at these things. There's a lot of these things that are listed here that are, well, they're things we've talked about before, right? There's things that have been talked about before for the city. And I guess now just that they're going to be coming to fruition over the, or at least getting started in earnest in the next 100 days. Actually, let me do this. We'll put that in order here. And see, I have sheets spread all amongst this vehicle, which is, this is how I do things. All right. First, though, let's talk about the what's going on in Montgomery. And there it is. I want to just add this to the conversation. So Senator Chris Elliott, who, you know, of course you hear on the station, has now added a Senate bill, SB 9. Now, remember, they're in special session, right? And the special session is to deal with reapportionment, right, and drawing the district maps and some allocation of ARP money, the American Rescue Plan money. But the discussion, the side discussion is, will there be a push to override the governor? Because the governor sets a special session, right? And when the governor sets a special session, the governor says what will be addressed in the special session. Well, in addition to that, you can, if you have enough members of the legislature, which, you know, it's going to take a supermajority, which Republicans have, to bring something else in during that special session. If it then goes to this vaccine-related legislation, this would probably be in play. So Senator Elliott's bill, SB 19, would allow for vaccine requirement exemptions based on religious beliefs and medical reasons, including recovery from COVID-19. I thought that one was pretty interesting. So this question we've asked about, well, if somebody already has antibodies, right, could they choose not to get the vaccine and have protection from, you know, what's coming in from the federal government? It looks like this is at least a push for this. Also, Senator Arthur Orr has SB 15 that has 15 co-sponsors, prohibits an entity, institution of education, or business from discriminating against a person who refuses to provide proof of immunization. So that's a couple things working there. We'll see. I mean, remember, they had a chance in the last session to pass something that would give them the ability to call themselves into a special session. That did not pass. So only way they get in a special session is the governor, and the only way they get something that the governor has not put in there is to have a supermajority and to go into that. All right, 100-day agenda for the city of Mobile. Just a few of the things I saw on this list, and we'll talk about this and hopefully have the mayor or somebody from the executive branch on to talk about this soon. It's broken into to subsets here. Protect Mobile, Grow Mobile, Hire Mobile, Connect Mobile, Enjoy Mobile, Visit Mobile, and Ready Mobile. All right, so those are the subsets. Let's go on the first one. I'm not naming all of them here, but there's just some that stood out to me. In the Protect Mobile subset, to break ground, this is the 100-day agenda, to break ground on the new MPD Precinct 1. Also, design new police and fire headquarters. It's on the list. Also, establish a new early intervention partnership with the Mobile County Public School System. So that's interesting on Protect Mobile. And it also, this was caught my eye. It said to launch virtual municipal courtrooms. Now, we talked a bit about this over the last year or so, about the backlog, the jam in the court system during COVID. I don't know if this addresses that specifically or this is something going on in the future, but it says to launch virtual municipal courtrooms. Also on this, it said to complete Alabama Power's 19,000 LED light replacement. Also to begin replacement of interstate LED lights. That's on the list. And also to launch a new MPD website. Those are a few of them. Under the Growmobile tab here, or subset, it said to launch a interactive capital project dashboard. Now, that's something that was discussed with many of the places, many of the people that are running for city council, you know, in that over the summer. Be interesting. So, you know, those projects, so you can kind of see what's up in your district of Mobile or what's up elsewhere and see what gets picked and what doesn't get picked and what it costs. Also, it says to adopt a unified development code and to announce ARP, so American Rescue Plan Affordable Housing Site Selections. Under the subset of Hire Mobile, said to launch interactive business license website and launch interactive land use website. Should be interesting to go online to be able to see that. Also to award small business funding through new ARP grants. So that's on there. Also to, let's see, announce the Lending Tree Bowl grant recipients. And that's just a few of them. Under Connect Mobile on this, to open Broad Street from Spring Hill to Dolphin, to open Baltimore Street rebuild, to break ground on Texas Street rebuild, Ziegler Boulevard rebuild from Cody to Schillinger, Airport Boulevard street synchronization. Y'all know I love that discussion. They said to complete that design, Government Street synchronization to implement timing and controls there. Also to complete University Boulevard sidewalks, to complete Medal of Honor sidewalks, complete Airport Boulevard repaving, some of the things that are under the Connect Mobile subset. Enjoy Mobile It said to, let's see here, there's a lot of them, but the ones that caught my eye, to host the first Iron Bowl block party on Dolphin Street. What do you think about that? On the Visit Mobile side, to bring back the cruise ship and to release the Clotilda documentary. And to Ready Mobile, to launch a household hazardous waste collection event and launch a new citizen litter collection tool. Some of the items on the list, you can go see that full list on my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5. All right, coming right back, Chris Curry joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So it's been suggested that I do the bumper cars. That's about my speed. I think that's Calvin on the text line. Yeah, that's about my speed here. I will do the bumper cars and eat the funnel cake here at the fair. We're live at the grounds, and it's the Greater Gulf State Fair. Second weekend coming up. We'll talk more about that later on the show with Josh Woods, the executive director here at the grounds. Now let's talk to the president of the Mobile Airport Authority and a guest. I always enjoy our conversations. Chris Curry joining us now. Thanks for being on.
Sean, thank you.
It's been a busy news cycle over the last couple weeks. Let's say for the rest of us. I know inside it's probably always a busy news cycle for y'all, but for the rest of us thinking about the airport, last 2 weeks have had a lot of headlines.
Yes, we have. We've been very fortunate to have some grant opportunities, some construction projects finish on time, all go favorably.
Let's talk about this latest piece of news, and then we'll go backwards on this. But explain this. So I see a note here, a memo from the Federal Aviation Administration. Three military airports now eligible for funding to add civilian operations. We're one of them.
Yes, we are. And this goal that we've tried to achieve over the last couple years to become eligible for the military airport program. And that program is really designed for former military bases and to help them convert to commercial operations rather quickly. And so it's a separate pot of funding that we can use for things that the normal FAA funding process would not normally fund.
If we take this funding, does it, like, messes up for getting other funding for the FAA, or is it in addition to, like, it's blind to that?
Not at all. It's in addition to, and it's a set aside. And the projects that qualify under the military airport program are some that do not meet the eligibility requirements for normal FAA funding. So, for example, road infrastructure, parking lot areas, hangar development, utility projects, those type things normally don't fall under the normal FAA funding process. So this is certainly in addition to.
This is good news. Yeah, and if you wanted to find a military airport, I think Brooklyn, I think we score high on that one.
We do, but there's some other criteria to make your way into the program. That's why only seven airports in the program, because the criteria is quite difficult.
How much money are we talking about in this for all these different, you know, the drainage and the parking lot and all that? How do you have a number?
I don't have a number offhand. What I can tell you is that this military airport program, you know, over the last 30 years have had a funding level of $750 million. And so when you divide that over seven airports per year, there's generally about $25 million in that. Now, that doesn't mean that Mobile Airport Authority will get, you know, $3.5 million every year. But 1 year we could get lower, and the next year we could get much higher. But it's just good to have that as an additional funding option.
Oh, okay. So it is ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It's once you're in, you can be part of the program for some period of time, or?
Yeah, once you're in, for example, Mobile Airport Authority and Downtown Airport, we're in it for 5 years.
Okay. So, and that kind of brings us through the process of a timeline. You and I have talked about this many times. I'm going to come back to some other funding. But you told me one day, and I think I was slack-jawed, when you thought that the Downtown Airport would be the go-to commercial airport, and that's when? What year do you think we're looking at?
Well, it will be. We hired a program manager about 2 months ago, and the timetable that we have is the fall of 2024.
It's ambitious, but you, I hear certainty in your voice on that.
Well, I have to be at this point. Now, if you talk to me 6 months from completion, I may say something different. But right now, it's a three-year project.
Okay. So we have this coming through through the FAA funding. And then it was, last week, $30 million from the city, right, to the Airport Authority to help move the commercial service down to Berkeley.
Yes, and that was quite bold, and from the mayor and the city council. And, you know, essentially we're looking at a $250 million project. And so as we obtain more federal funding and funding from other sources, you know, you're always asked, how much are you contributing locally? And so for the city to step up and contribute $30 million to that project is phenomenal. And there are significant benefits to the city that comes from that investment.
So, and with that, it looked like on the military side here, reading through it, there are some, you know, it said specifically for different things. I think you delineated those for utility construction, improving airport drainage, parking lot construction, apron reconstruction project. The $30 million from the city, is it earmarked specifically for any part of this, or can it be used overall?
Well, at this time, we haven't finalized a formal agreement with the city to better understand exactly what the money could be used for. But I would say, in general, it's used to support the overall airport terminal project. So whether we wanted to use it towards the parking garage, the terminal, some of the other infrastructure projects, environmental, I think that the city would be open to a very friendly and general use agreement for the airport.
Hey, just joining us, talking to President of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry. You and I discussed this in the past as well. Where the terminal is now, where I've flown out of before, is that the start of the new terminal, or will it be somewhere else?
Yeah, the construction of the new terminal will be somewhere else. So if you're standing in front of the existing low-cost terminal, the new terminal will be in your 1 or 2 o'clock position between Michigan Street, where the low-cost terminal resides, and Interstate 10.
So it'll be on the other side of the road then?
It will, and Perimeter Road will be the access point into the new terminal. The low-cost terminal for now will stay where it is, and if we get a user the satisfied being there, we may very well have a two-terminal concept.
Okay, so it wouldn't be to bulldoze that facility. That may be also functioning as part of the Berkeley Airport, Aeroplex.
It could, and it could allow us to have air service quicker than the 3 years. That terminal was built really for a low-cost carrier, so very small, very efficient. And if we get a customer or airline that likes that location, then there's no need for us to do anything with it anytime soon.
Well, let's talk about this move. You know, I've moved houses before, Chris. I've just never moved airports. So the process of moving the carriers that are at Farmers now and getting them down to Berkeley, what do y'all have to do on your end? Do you have to just say, y'all fly your planes in here instead of there? Or what's that process?
Well, just so you know, I've never moved an airport before either. So we're in the same club. So the project consists of relocating some businesses in the area. Once we relocate those businesses, clear the land, construct the new terminal facility, in communications with the airlines, they will essentially fly to Mobile Regional Airport one day and turnkey operation and fly to downtown airport the next.
Speaking of the current, so Brian on the text line says, any plans to maintain the current Mobile Regional Airport in the next few years?
Absolutely. We have a responsibility under the FAA to maintain that airport. I mean, we will not use it for commercial service, but we do have some major customers still there. The Coast Guard training facility, Airbus Space and Defense are still there. So we will still maintain it as a general aviation airport.
You and I talked about maybe that some of the additional land out there would be sold off. Is that still part of the plan?
It's possible. I mean, land that's not needed for continuous aviation development will be considered. Also, I think we will be able to alleviate the operation of the terminal. But other than that, all the facilities, the runways, taxiways, all of that will still be maintained and operated by the Mobile Airport Authority.
So I'm kind of looking at the numbers we've talked about right now, the $30 million and then from the FAA. But, you know, you've said that this is a $250 million project, right, to get done?
Yes.
Where are we on the funding? We've talked about a couple sources here. Where's the rest of the money coming from, or is it already in the pipeline?
Well, so the funding for the new airport is in the pipeline. So there's a significant piece of federal funding through many different federal offices, if you will. And so when you deal with federal funding, the best way to describe that is pending, because it's pending until you actually have it in your bank account. So Department of Transportation, there's a transportation development program that may provide some funds. There's the Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program process. Certainly now the City of Mobile, we will make an ask to Mobile County, and we will also make an ask to the state of Alabama. And ultimately, our goal is to build the terminal debt-free, because if we can build the terminal debt-free, we can reduce the cost to the airlines. That should prompt them to provide more destinations. We can attract more carriers, and hopefully they pass on those savings to the citizens of our community.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned the what gets my interest, too, is the number of carriers, right? We have the legacy carriers, but the low-cost carriers. I think I threw a meltdown five-year-old fit on the air when we lost the last low-cost carrier. What's our future look like on that?
Well, we will definitely be competitive in that space. And the low-cost carriers really thrive on leisure. And so one of the projects that the airport has undertaken over the last several months is actually a regional rebrand, if you will, working with the Savannah College of Art and Design. And so for us to really promote our leisure, that I always say that no one else outside of a drive-in market is aware of, we must really bring in the leisure components, not only of Mobile, but Baldwin County and Biloxi as a region, because Mobile acts as a hub. And so the more that we can pronounce that nationally, I think we will gain the interest of leisure carriers who would want to come to Mobile and then take in all the leisure components that are in and around us.
Yeah, I think about the leisure part, and I know this is not under your purview, but I was reading through the mayor's 100-day agenda, and one of the items on that agenda was to see if I get the – but it was to bring back the cruise ship. I don't know exactly how it was worded, but to bring the cruise ship back. Do you feel that drives some air traffic into Berkeley?
I think there's really a pretty good synergy between a cruise ship and a low-cost carrier. Just like I think there's some synergy with Amtrak and a low-cost carrier as well. So, you know, a lot of those pieces are starting to come together, and what Visit Mobile is doing with the Clotilda and the international spotlight that's getting, it all contributes to that leisure profile.
Now, this brings up, you know, you mentioned the cruise ship and you also mentioned Amtrak. I know that discussion had come up before where maybe that Brooklyn is where Amtrak would come in. Instead of the station being downtown somewhere on Water Street, it would come in at Brooklyn. Has that been part of the discussion since?
Well, the airport has really been on the outside of that discussion, if you will. However, within our master plan, we did consider two locations that are Amtrak station could be on the downtown airport.
So you're saying, hey, if y'all want to do it, we got a spot for you? Is that about, am I translating that correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. Chris, speak it, some Sullivanese where I can understand it. So 2024 is, you said, you know, right now, that's a date, fall of 2024, that the Sullivans are coming down there, and we're getting on an airplane and flying out from Brooklyn.
I hope so.
People want to keep up with this. I know you had launched a master plan last time or a couple times ago when we talked. If people want to see that news as new news comes out about the Mobile Airport Authority, I mean, is there a kind of clearinghouse for this online? Where do you send people?
It is. It's on our website, mobileairportauthority.com, and we have a very active group that communicates on social media, Twitter, you name it, and they're on there daily. So those are all the places that you can find information, and of course we've been quite busy with press releases as well to keep the community informed.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on with us, and I'll get you back on real soon because I always enjoy getting the updates from you.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, there he is, President of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, good guy. One of those guys that I feel good that we have fighting for us in that ring, and we'll keep our eyes on this story as it grows here, and, you know, there's more funding in there, and 2024, you heard it. He's going to throw something at me, but I'm holding him to it. Fall of 2024, Brooklyn's going to be live for commercial air travel. All right, coming right back. We are live at the Greater Gulf State Fair at the grounds. Check in with County Commissioner Randall Dewitt next hour, as well as Josh Woods.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This Tuesday, we are live at the grounds. Greater Gulf State Fair going on now through the weekend. And we'll get another update from Josh Woods, the executive director here, in just a little bit. Plus, Mobile County Commissioner Randall Dewitt joins us. Hey, a lot of texts coming in here. This one, unnamed texter, Sean, under the mayor's 100-day plan, I didn't see any mention of the Civic Center, Hank Aaron Stadium, or LAD. Status quo will continue for those, I suppose. I didn't see the Hank, and I didn't see LAD, unnamed texter. I do think I saw, here's the problem, I got all these, I have gotten my glasses, though. I've got my glasses on here now so I can read this. I should have put this in, like, old man font here. But I thought I did see there was a, maybe it wasn't something specific, and maybe I'm dreaming it up, but I think it was something in there to address the situation with the Civic Center. It's a talk about it, or to, I think it was one of those things that has some of that governmental term, like bringing shareholders in on a disc. Let me see. I hope I can find this thing. There's so many of these things on the list. Okay. Oh, wait, I found it. Okay. Engage stakeholders to determine Civic Center plan. So that's there. Oh, I highlighted that. Also, design contract for Brooklyn by the Bay and begin community engagement. And by the way, just a side note here, and I think I'm correct. It says underneath there to begin demolition of old Zeebock property at Perch Creek Preserve. I think that's, and I need to check, is that Elmo Zeebock? Is that, which, by the way, if you're like a outdoors person and you grew up around here, there's a book called The Second Head of Chocolata. You know, I'm always like throwing out book titles. I don't know if you can still find it. I've got my copy there at the house, Second Head of Chocolata by, I think it was Elmo Zeebock, and I think it's the same family. Really cool read about the Delta and the Bay and all that kind of stuff. And there's a whole bunch more to this list. Government street synchronization, downtown streets optimization. So there's a lot to it. I put the link up on Twitter, and maybe we'll have it up on the Facebook page as well. Or if you just go to the City of Mobile, their website, I'm sure it's posted there as well. The 100-day agenda has been put out by Mayor Sandy Stimson. All right, other text here coming in. Da-da-da. Let's go. Terry said, didn't we move from Brooklyn because of flood danger during hurricanes? Terry, I was always told another story growing up. Now, that doesn't mean it is correct, but it comes from somebody who's pretty wise in the community and told me it's... I can't say this on air and not get myself in trouble. That there were people that owned land out there that sure would like to see the airport moved out there. I don't know that that is true. I don't know that that is a true thing, but I was always told that it was a great place to put it because people had property there. All right. More questions on where did the $30 million come from? That came from the Mobile City Council and the mayor's office. You know, I don't know, unnamed texter, did that $30 million they gave to the airport, I need to find the source of it. Was it American Rescue Plan money? It quite possibly could have been. I will double check on that. Maybe we'll find out. I mean, it's a county commissioner, but maybe he knows. Randall DeWitt's going to join us this coming hour, as well as Josh Woods from the Greater Gulf State Fair. It's all straight ahead. It's Midday Mobile. We're live at the fair right here on FM Talk 106.5. Be right back.